Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, continuing our study of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, starting at verse 7 and reading down to verse 11. The very well-known words of Jesus dealing with the aspect of prayer: ask, seek, and knock. So Matthew 7, that's found on page 965, Matthew 7, starting at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And as far as reading here in Acts 7, we pray for our, in Matthew 7, we pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, some people have a unique gift of asking. Perhaps you've been to a banquet or some fundraising event, and as you work through the event, you have the meal, and at the end, before you leave, you have the moment that is called the ask. So the MC comes up, comes to the microphone, and says, okay, you know why you're here. We are here to support this particular Christian ministry. This building needs a new roof, or we need to raise money for a new field or something like this, and the ask is given. These Christian ministries and nonprofits depend on the charity, the giving of those who support it. Well, as Christians, we also depend on the generosity of someone else. We depend completely on the generosity of our God. And we need to ask, be askers of the things that we need. We all have to be reminded of our deep dependency and our inability to provide for our own needs. Well, after the last few weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, well, we've been looking at anxiety, the sources of anxiety, the solution to our anxiety. We looked at judging, taking the beam or the plank out of your own eye before helping your brother with a speck in his eye. And the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing us back to prayer. If you have your Bibles open, you'll look in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus had various aspects of prayer, and particularly that we are given a form for our prayer with the Lord's Prayer, that we are to avoid being overly long in our prayers, because having a lot of words does not increase the probability of us being heard. It's not with many verbose words that we can convince God to hear us. Rather, we're to be simple in our prayers, and our prayers are to also be made in secret, not made in front of others for their praise. Well, Jesus Christ is bringing us back to prayer today, and we're going to be looking at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to ask for what we need from our gracious Heavenly Father. Jesus is teaching us that we are to ask for the things that we need from our gracious Heavenly Father. And at first point, then, we consider how it is that we are to ask. When we are asking for something, it is important to have the proper attitude. Let's say, children, you have a birthday coming up next week, and you want to celebrate your birthday, and you want your parents to take you out to eat. And it's a special occasion, so we're not going to just go to Culver's. We're going to go to a Texas Roadhouse. So you go to your parents, and what sort of attitude would you have if you're going to be asking your parents for something that you know that you don't have any right to demand this? But what sort of attitude would you have? Well, I suspect that your attitude would not be a one of expecting it, but rather it would be one of humility, one acknowledging that you don't deserve it, and yet it might graciously be given to you. So Jesus begins in verse 7, ask, seek, and knock. Now, these particular words are given as imperative commands. In other words, as a child of God, you are told to do this. Prayer is not an option for God's people. Prayer is not something that you can take or leave at your own discretion. If you are a child of God, you will be asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, when you look at prayer in the broader sense, you know that prayer is to have an adoration. You're confessing the greatness of God. There's a confession aspect. You confess your sins, acknowledging your own need and misery. There's a thanksgiving aspect to it. But it is very clear here that there is a clear supplication. We are to call, to ask, to plead for specific things. Jesus says, ask. Don't be ashamed to ask. Seek from his hand. Knock at the door. Now, I've said before that prayer does not always need to be something you do on your knees with your hands folded and your eyes closed. It may be that some event happens during your day when you are simply forced to acknowledge your need, your bankruptcy, your inability to provide for yourself. Often our prayers are uttered to God in great times of distress or conflict or uncertainty. Lord, I don't even know what way to go here. I'm at a fork in the road, and I need wisdom. And that's what we read in James. Right? If you need wisdom, ask of God in prayer. Ask God to show, to make it clear, to make it plain to you which way that you are to go. So you come before the Lord, acknowledging it, saying it, proclaiming the thing that you are in need of. God delights to hear the prayer of his people. And he delights to know the things that are on your heart. Now, it is true, you're not revealing something to God that he doesn't already know, but he wants to hear from his children. As parents, would it be a surprise to us that our children are hungry at dinner time? We expect this. So it is, God knows our needs, but he calls us to be people of prayer. And as we come to our God in prayer, we are acknowledging that the one to whom we pray is both able and willing to hear and answer our prayers. In other words, the prayer of God's people is the prayer of faith. Now, there are two aspects to this prayer of faith. The first aspect of the prayer of faith is that we are to believe in God. We believe that he is the only God. And we are to believe that the God who is the God who will hear. So we believe in the one that we are calling upon, but we are also believing that he will hear and he will answer us. By way of a reminder, prayer is a gift reserved for God's people. Prayer is a gift reserved for children of God. Just as the Sermon on the Mount here that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, so it is a prayer that is uniquely reserved and given to those who are followers, who are disciples of Jesus Christ. Not everyone has this right. 7 billion people in the world today, something like that. Not everyone has the right to pray. We are calling upon God, our Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to the church, ask, seek, and knock. So we believe that God is, we placed our faith in him, and we believe that God hears and answers our prayers. Hebrews 11 puts it like this. We must believe that God is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. So true faith is rooted in faith. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Why would we call on someone who we don't even know if they exist? Or what confidence would we have in our prayers if we didn't believe that God was hearing and would answer our prayers? We read of this in James 1, verse 6. When you ask of God, let your asking be done in faith and without doubting. Because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea, tossed here and there, to and fro. There is a confidence that is necessary and a part of true faith. A faith that knows God is and knows God hears. Ask. And it will be given to you, Jesus says. Jesus is not saying, ask and you might be heard and perhaps it will be given to you. There is a direct link between the imperative and the indicative. Those who ask will receive. Those who seek will find. And those who knock will have the door given to you. The indicative, the answer, is also a promise. A promise that God's people can hold on to. There is a confidence that drives us to our knees and brings us to the throne of mercy. The promise of God holds fast. The prayer will be granted. But it must also be said that true prayer is prayer that is persistent. Prayer that is something that is continuing. You could translate verse 7 this way, the opening of verse 7. Keep on asking. So the aorist imperative is something that is not just a one-time thing, one and done. It is keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. There is a consistency that is also the mark of true faith and acceptable prayer. So as 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it, you pray without ceasing. Or children, you remember the illustration of the persistent widow in Luke 18, right? The persistent widow that kept going back to the unrighteous judge, kept bringing her plea, her cause before that judge. So God's people are going to be consistent, persistent in asking, seeking, and knocking, knowing that the one we are praying to is there, is true God, and hears and answers our prayers. That brings us to our second point then. Well, if we are to be consistently praying with hearts of faith, what are the things that we're to ask for? So our second point is this: what things are we to ask for? What should be the content of this prayer that is asking, seeking, and knocking? Well, our text says that we are to ask for things like bread and fish. Specifically, verse 11 says we are to ask for good gifts or good things. So what are these good things or these good gifts that God's people will be asking for? Well, if you will remember in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, it says, what things should you pray for? Everything you need for your body and your soul. Whatever is necessary for your physical life and your spiritual life, your needs are the good things that you should be asking for. So the needs that we are to pray for would be in the physical side. It would be like clothing, like the grass of the field, shelter, like the birds of the air, knowing that we need these things. We need daily bread, as Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. But when we are asking for the things we are needing, we are not asking that God would make everything to be of great plenty, increase, and ease. We are not praying that every meal would be a steak dinner, nor are we praying that our home would be a mansion, but rather, Lord, give me that which is necessary, that what I need for my body. Give me bread and water, daily bread. Well, what about our souls? What kind of things do we need for our souls? Well, do you need wisdom? Then you should ask. Do you need God's grace? Then you should ask. Do you need peace? Do you sometimes feel like your heart is like troubled water, that your life is rocking back? You don't have any stability. Then what do you need? You need peace. Well, where do you find peace? Where do you go to get it? Do you need the Holy Spirit? Do you need the Spirit to give you the mind of Christ? Do you need the Spirit to bring to mind all that Christ did? Do you need the Spirit to apply the works of Christ to you? Do you need the Spirit to sanctify you? These are the things that we need in the spiritual sense, and we are to ask God to knock at the door and to seek from His hand that which is necessary. So we are to ask God for the things that we need, and we ask God for the things that He has promised. The prayer that God's people make and the promises that God has given to us are directly linked. What has God promised to give? If you are praying for the things that God has promised to give, then that gives you an added sense of boldness, doesn't it? God, I'm simply asking for the things that you promised to give me. In my prayer, I am calling upon you to give me the very things that you have promised to give us. Clinging to his promises in our prayer, knowing that God cannot and will never break his promises. John chapter 6, or to pray according to God's will. So we pray with hearts of confidence, but also hearts of humility, acknowledging that the timing of the answer and the manner of the answer may not be what we expect, because his ways are not our ways. We acknowledge that we do not always know the best way to answer the prayers that we are praying. Sometimes we ask for things that we should not have, or we ask for the wrong things. So in prayer, we also have humility, praying even as Jesus did, not my will, your will be done. So yes, we are to ask for the good things, the things that are promised, the things that are needed. We are to ask with hearts of humility, knowing that God will give us the answer that we need, which is the answer that is necessary for our good. Isn't that what Romans 8 says? God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. The answer that God gives us to our prayers is a good answer. It may not be the answer you expect, but it will always be a good answer for God's people. If the goal that God has for you is bringing from where you are on the path of sanctification that leads to your glorification, and that end result is good, and that destination is good, then the answer God gives you along the way brings you down that path of goodness. The good end in view is the goal. But sometimes we don't ask for what is good, or sometimes we don't know what the good is. Other times we ask for things not knowing if God were to give us the thing we asked, it wouldn't be for our good. I want to read another passage from James 4. If you want to turn with me, going back to James 4. Just a few verses there, James 4, the first three verses. Now keep in the back of your mind what we just read about ask, seek, and knock. Well, what does James have to say about asking? James 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So James is saying that there are times when God's people ask for the wrong thing, or where people pray for things that they ought not to have. We have to keep the big picture in view, that the answer that God gives us to our prayers may not be for my spiritual good, or may not be for the good of someone else. The thing I'm asking for might actually harm me or harm someone else. That's where we have to pray with submission. God knows how his answers affect not only us, but everyone in our lives and in our society as well. We can have sinful desires or wrong desires, confused desires, even when it comes to our prayers. Just a very simple response. People pray for the wrong things all the time. Do you know how many people pray every day that they would win the lottery? They pray to God. Now, are they praying to the true God? No. But people pray all the time to win the lottery. Will God give them the things that they ask for? They are praying for the wrong things, to spend it, as James says, on their own desires. So there is such a thing as a wrong prayer or a request for something that is not good. Thankfully, the answer to prayers are not contingent on our wisdom. We know that God is good and that he is sovereign. and that he will give us the answer that is needed. Jesus is also teaching us to pray with patience, waiting for the answer to come in his good time. Our prayers are not like the disobedient children in the toy aisle of Walmart, kicking and screaming until they get their way, the thing that they want. We're not demanding things from God, telling him that he has to give us the thing that we want when we want it. That's not prayer. Prayer of humility acknowledges that God's ways are good and that his timing is good as well. Because prayer is not only our communication with God, but prayer is also a means that God uses to change us. Prayer is one of the ways that God changes us. Our communion with God changes us. We are matured. We are sanctified. We're humbled. And our hearts of faith are strengthened. So we learn to pray in humility, submitting to the Lord and trusting that his good answer will come in his good time. But this fact, brothers and sisters, should not discourage us in our prayers. Rather, we are to see in our passage that there is a boldness in prayer, even that we're encouraged to be brave in the work of praying and in asking. So in our last point, we're going to consider the encouragement that Jesus is clearly giving us in our passage. The first encouragement in our passage comes from the certainty of answers. Jesus says, those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock will have the door opened unto them. Now, the image here of the door opening, we can imagine that we have a neighbor living right next door to us, and we have a specific need. We need bread, for example. And there's no grocery stores that you can go to. Imagine you have someone, family member, traveling from far away, comes to your house. You weren't expecting this guest, but you have to feed this guest. Where are you going to go to get the bread? Well, you go to your neighbor. You knock at the door. And you keep knocking until the door opens. You knock until the door is opened and your request is heard and answered. There is a promise that Jesus gives here in this particular passage, a promised answer. The second encouragement is the one to whom we are praying. Who is the one that we're calling upon? Who is our prayer directed to? Well, what is God like? God is good. He is a good God. This point is established when Jesus compares the goodness of God to the normalcy of humans, and particularly earthly fathers. Jesus says in verse 11, our earthly fathers, although they are evil, try to do good by us. Evil dads, fallen, finite sinners who are dads, still try to do right by their children. And Jesus makes this incredibly personal and pointed. Which one of you, if you have your child going to you, asking for something that is needed and is in your power to give, would not give them what is necessary? If your child was hungry, I mean really hungry, we're not talking about the 3 o'clock craving, this is really hungry, and you have the power to answer that petition, if your child is sitting here starving and you as a parent have the ability to meet that need, which one of you would not have your hearts moved by compassion to give the good thing that's to your child? Now, children, imagine when you get home today and you're ready for roast and potatoes around the dinner table, your dad opens up the oven and pulls out a stone, puts a big, fat, juicy stone on your plate. Dig in. If your child asks you for bread, you're not going to give them a rock. That's what Jesus says. That's the point. The encouragement is clear. If you, being evil, fallen, finite sinner, give good gifts to your children, how much more your good God, who is perfect and is good? Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. From the fallen, finite fathers who do good even though they're evil, to the much better and much greater good God. But not only is he our good God, he is also our Father. As a father moved by love for his children, he knows what they need. He is not going to give you a rock. He is not going to give you a snake. The particular snake in vision here would be like an eel, some slimy, slippery thing from that lives in the ocean that is unsuitable for consumption. He's going to give you the bread and fish that is necessary because he is a loving father. Stones and snakes make ill presents from a father who has adopted us by grace and, as we sang earlier, has already given us his son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. He's already given his son in love. Will he not give you what is needed? Surely he will. But not only is he our Father, he is our heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. Being our heavenly Father means that he is both able and willing to grant us that which is good and give what is necessary. You see, our earthly fathers are limited in their wisdom and in their ability. Earthly fathers don't always know what is best. Earthly fathers don't always have the ability to give what is necessary. Your parents, your dad might lose his job or have to be moved to a different place, might be injured, unable to work. There are all sorts of things. He could become sick, incapacitated, all sorts of things that might cause our parents to be unable to give what is necessary. But the arm of our Heavenly Father is not short, is not weak. He will surely give us because he is our Father who is in heaven. And he is our loving Father. He knows what is good. As Heidelberg Catechism 46 teaches us, we are to expect from his almighty power everything needed for body and soul. So this little illustration in our passage is really designed to encourage us to chase away our fears. If we as parents want to give good gifts to our children, how much more your Father who is in heaven? Will he not grant what is necessary? Surely he will give good things to those who ask him in prayer by faith. To conclude, understanding the purpose and gift of prayer helps us to understand how to pray properly. We're to ask for that which is necessary, doing this with humility and faith, and also trusting God to answer in his good time. John Calvin put it like this: we must not think that he takes no notice of us when he does not answer our wishes, for he has the right to distinguish what we actually need. Prayer with humility, your will be done. As our theme states, Jesus Christ teaches us to ask for what we need from our gracious Heavenly Father. So let us now go to this, our Father, in the sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the gift of prayer, teaching us that prayer is a gift and that the answer is promised. And even if that answer might not be what we expect or in the timing that we expect, we know that the answer will be good because you are a good God and you have our good end in view. We pray, O Lord, that we would learn to pray rightly, praying as children with confidence, and not doubting, but knowing that you will answer according to your promise in your good time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond.